So the epistle for the first mass of Christmas is taken from Titus chapter 2. Dearly beloved, the grace of God our Savior hath appeared to all men, instructing us that, denying ungodliness and worldly desires, we should live soberly and justly and godly in this world, looking for the blessed hope and coming of the glory of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and might cleanse to himself a people acceptable, a pursuer of good works. These things speak and exhort in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Luke chapter 2. At that time there went forth a decree from Caesar Augustus that the whole world should be enrolled. This first enrollment was made by Cyrenius, the governor of Syria, and all went to be enrolled, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the family of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his espoused wife, who was with child. And it came to pass that when they were there, her days were accomplished, that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds watching and keeping the night watches over their flock. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood by them, and the brightness of God shone round them, and they feared with a great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy that shall be to all the people. For this day is born to you in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the infant wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly army, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men of good will." Please be seated. My Lord and my God, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, amen. We have arrived now at the Feast of Christmas. We've been anticipating this great feast by the preparation that we have made during the time of Advent. And during this time period, we've talked about preparing the soul. We've used the figure of St. John the Baptist as an example for us by his preaching, by his holiness of life, that he tried to help prepare the people at that time when our Lord were to come. And so it's interesting to see how in this last week before Christmas, most of the days are ferial days. There's no saint. One, because it is meant to draw our attention to the great feast of Christmas. This mystery of Christmas, the coming of the Christ child into this world. Our Lord coming as an infant to teach to us the humility, to show to us his great love for us. But it's interesting to see how there is one last great feast that breaks up all of the ferial days. It is the feast of St. Thomas, the Apostle. And we can see with Doubting Thomas, as he's been mentioned to be called, because he doubted that our Lord appeared to the other apostles. You know, you have the famous account of Doubting Thomas, to where he said, if I do not have a chance to place my hand in our Lord's wounds in his side, I won't believe. And so it's interesting to see how the church, how she brings out this feast right in the kind of the middle of it. One, to help us to prepare. You know, so why would we say that is a preparation for this feast? Because as I mentioned, with the mystery of Christmas, of our Lord coming into this world as an infant. He could have come as a king. It is what the Jews were expecting. And even in some sense that the apostles were expecting something different. They were expecting a more earthly king. And yet our Lord would come as an infant. And so as I mentioned with Doubting Thomas, for him he had to touch the wounds of our Lord in order to believe. In order for him to really see that our Lord was coming back, appearing to the apostles. And so we can say in another sense when we look at Christmas time, it requires from us a strong faith, a strong belief that this infant that came, he was the true Messiah. And especially you can say for the people at that time, for them to witness and see that this infant was the true Messiah, it would have been hard for them. It might have been hard for them to understand that this infant, he was to become then the Messiah, the one that would redeem mankind. He was the promised one. And so, yes, it requires from them a great faith. And that is something that we can see with St. Thomas, is what he gives to us. And so we can see with St. Thomas that he is a patron. A patron that will bring in this divine child. That he will be used as a means to try to help prepare us. Kind of a final preparation. Yes, we have had the example of St. John the Baptist, his preaching. But then this final thing, as I say, this final feast day, right in the middle of all of these ferial days, to where it directs our attention to Christmas, to the mystery of Christmas, and yet we have St. Thomas in there. It is meant to help to give us a patron for someone that we can look to, someone that will help to for us to understand and to truly believe. And I would say even for us nowadays, we need him to truly believe in our Lord Jesus Christ. Because we look at our modern world and we look at all the things going around us, and maybe just as the people at that time of seeing this infant and wondering, is this the Messiah? Is this truly God? That sometimes we might be tempted to think the same things. Why hasn't God done anything? You know, why hasn't God chastised the world? Why hasn't he sent the punishments? We can ask that same question of what is he waiting for? And so St. Thomas is a good example to us to believe and hope in God, who for us we don't see now. We don't have physically our Lord Jesus Christ present to us, physically in the sense of a human form. And granted, we have our Lord sacramentally present in our tabernacles. We have that. But yet, we don't have our Lord that we can see. And so that belief, that is a true faith, because faith is the belief in things unseen. And so it requires from us a great faith to believe, to realize that this infant that came into the world, he was the Messiah. He was the promised one. And that is why when we have the Feast of the Epiphany, this manifestation of the power of God, you have the kings that bear their gifts to our Lord. You have these earthly kings coming in adoration to this infant. To the world, it probably seems so strange. But to those that have faith, it is not. And that is what requires from us a great faith. As I say, especially in this time period that we live. The wondering of when God is going to do something. And yet we have to have this strong belief. This belief and this hope a belief and a hope in our Lord. He is this King. He is the powerful King that we must believe in. And sometimes we are probably like Doubting Thomas. And you think of St. Thomas. He spent the 3 years with our Lord. He had heard all that our Lord had to say. He saw the miracles. He witnessed all of these things of what our Lord had done. And our Lord even said that he would come back. But because St. Thomas did not see it, because he did not see our Lord, he wouldn't believe it. And then we see how much our Lord cared. He came back. And he told Thomas, go ahead, put your hand in my side, touch the wounds so that you can believe. And that is where we have the famous, my Lord and my God. Because Thomas, he believed. It is something maybe as a child growing up, you were instructed that when the priest raises the host, you say the same thing. My Lord and my God, in adoration for what is there, that is God. And again, with our bodily eyes, it doesn't seem anything different. But with the eyes of our faith, yes, it is a miracle that is performed. And it requires from us a great belief. To believe that our Lord is present on the altar or in the tabernacle. It requires from us that. And that is what this time of Christmas, as our Lord came into this world to redeem this world, it requires from us a great faith. It requires from us a great hope in our Lord and the belief that we have in Him. And so that is something that we should pray for, an increase in that. To come to the creche, to ask for that grace. Because just as St. Thomas, here we have a saint that he doubted, he was guilty of this doubt of our Lord. And yet he would go on to continue to be a saint, one that would lose his life for our Lord, lose his life for preaching this gospel, preaching about our Lord. And so clearly he was strengthened by our Lord coming back and appearing to him. And that solved it for him. That he recognized this was God. Our Lord appeared as he said he would. And so, how many of the people at that time rejected our Lord? Because as I say, it wasn't exactly what they wanted. And so they rejected our Lord. And so they stayed in the darkness, because that is something that we have to consider. In this time period, our Lord, the divine child, comes and he sheds light into the darkness. Because he is this true light. As I mentioned to you before in sermons about how that parallel of the light that comes at Christmas time, he is also the light at Easter with the Paschal candle. And how the liturgy uses these things to help us, but to think about that darkness that is there. Darkness in a reality, yes. You go out at midnight right now, it's pitch dark out. It's black. But it is also the reference to sin, of being in darkness, being blinded. And that is what our Lord came to overcome. to overcome sin, to overcome death ultimately. And that is why we are meant to live forever. And that is the crux, we can say, of this whole mystery of Christmas. Our Lord came into this world to redeem mankind, to redeem us so therefore we would live forever. That is why we were created. That is what we are meant for. And so our Lord, he comes into the darkness to shed light. Those that will reject our Lord will stay in darkness. And that is what you see in the last gospel, again in reference to St. John the Baptist. The one who preached the light, they rejected this light. St. Thomas could have easily have fallen into that because he doubted. He did not have the faith in our Lord. But our Lord gave him that grace when he appeared. When he appeared to him and told him, you know, go ahead, Thomas, so that you can believe. But then we have those famous words of our Lord that he says, you know, blessed are they that have not seen, yet they still believe. And so that is what we find ourselves in. Our Lord, he came into this world over 2,000 years ago. And every Christmas, we spiritually recognize that our Lord comes again. And yes, at some point, he will come physically again. We know not when. But that is why the church tries to instill in us this idea of preparing, of being prepared, of being ready for when our Lord does come again. So that he will find us ready, that he will not find us in darkness. A darkness that envelops the entire world around us. And so therefore, that is why we must pray for a strong faith, a great hope, and a great love for God. The theological virtues. It helps us to understand. By having these virtues, it will help us to stay away from the darkness that the world is enveloped in. That we will see clearly that this child, this infant that came into the world is truly God, that he is the true Messiah. And we will see that with the eyes of our faith. And that is what is important for us. It is important for us to understand that now, to pray for that grace, and I encourage you to come while we have the creche, to come and to pray to our Lord, to ask for that increase, that we won't be like a doubting Thomas, that we won't have a weak faith, to where when trials and tribulations come, we lose it. We lose that strong belief in God. We lose that strong faith. We cannot be like that. We must pray for a strong faith, especially in the world we live in, especially because of what is going on around us. We must have a strong faith. So as I say, pray for these graces. Pray that our Lord gives us these graces at this Mass. It is what is necessary for us in order to be like St. Thomas, made strong in our faith then, to where we would be willing to die for our faith as he was. And you see how God works. Being guilty of the doubting, of not believing, and yet he would end his life for his belief in God. And that is the work of grace in the soul. And that is what can happen for us. And so pray that we no longer stay in the darkness of the world. Pray that we will follow what our Lord had said to him, that promise that he made to him, that blessed are they that have not seen, yet still believe. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.